Welcome back to CCFR Radio. We are Canada's only firearms advocacy group newsletter in the form of a podcast. That way, when you listen to us, you get to stay in the know on the go. Now, on with episode 3. Let's go. When it comes to the various events that we had going on in the country in the past couple weeks, we had a table at the Get Your Six Long Gun Precision Shooting charity event in Edson, Alberta. We also had a table set up at the Redneck County Shotgun Competition in St. Thomas, Ontario, and we were most certainly present and accounted for with a table at the grand opening of the Canadian Gunworks store in Oshawa, Ontario. Now, we've all heard men will be men and boys will be boys and, you know, you have the boys club and whatever. Well, let me tell you, that does not pertain to shooting anymore. Listen, gentlemen, it is time to move over and make room. Ladies are the up and coming when it comes to sport shooting. Now, last week in Ottawa was the annual Ladies Range Day. This was held at the Eastern Ontario Shooting Club in the East End. Women from all over the area flocked to the event, which sold out in one day. Attendance was fantastic, with around 50 new female shooters coming out to give the sport a try. All age ranges were represented, and no license or previous experience was required. Volunteers from both EOSC and the CCFR were on hand to give safety briefings, a little introduction, and most of all, to supervise the shooters while they had a blast. Now, guests enjoyed little loot bags filled with goodies from sponsors like Fundy Tactical, the CCFR, and Cabela's, and each girl received an event t-shirt featuring the phrase, "Shoot like a girl," in pink, of course. The ladies were treated to gifts, prize draws, and a table full of snacks, fruit trays, and sweets to keep them fueled up for their day of fun. Over 3,000 rounds were sent downrange by the day's end, and the smiles were contagious. Now, if we dig into the rumor mill just a little bit, there is a possibility of another joint event like this one happening again this year, but perhaps September. So be sure to check out the great photos of this event on the CCFR and the EOSC pages. Now let's just build a little bit off of episode 2, which was 2 weeks ago. That was where I gave you the highlights of the AGM this year. Now, in keeping with the openness and transparency of the Canadian Coalition for Firearms Rights, you can go to the Facebook group and find the PDF file of the meeting minutes. Of course, the AGM itself, it was open to those members that wanted to attend in person. We also made sure that we had live streaming available for those that couldn't make it. In addition to that, the video was made available after the event, and now you have the minutes, so you can read through it if you don't want to watch the video. So I think it's safe to say that it's truly evident that the CCFR goes out of its way to keep its members in the loop. We need you to know what we're up to and what your membership dues are working towards. And speaking of that, if you have not got on board yet, if you have not dropped a little bit of coin for a CCFR membership, what are you waiting for? Head over to firearmrights.ca and click the big join button. Join today. Your money gets used for so much behind the scenes, in the limelight, you name it. We need your dollars in order to fight for your rights as a Canadian firearms owner. So head over there, join up, make it happen. You'll be glad you did. Now this past weekend, our very own Tracy Wilson and a few others were down to the Van Cleek Hill Gun Show, which is not too far outside of Ottawa. Now, she put a live video up on the Facebook group, and she basically gave the highlight about how she was talking with people about the history of the firearms in Canada, along with gun control, and the things that we like to fight for in the CCFR. Now, several people brought up the Long Gun Registry, so she got into telling them about, you know, explaining exactly how it was a waste of taxpayers' dollars. And believe it or not, the Long Gun Registry has never prevented a crime in Canada. But some of the questions that were raised were along the lines of, you know, did it actually help the RCMP? Did having the long gun registry help the RCMP when it came to crimes like theft, break and enter, domestic disputes, etc.? You know, like, did it give them a heads up as to what was in the house? Do they know that, you know, they're showing up to a house and they have a list already, there are firearms in the house? Was it beneficial for them to have this information? Now, I'm not going to get into the long gun registry side of it, really. Tracy did that quite well in her video. Now, again, like I said, if you're looking for it, go to the CCFR Facebook group and you'll find, scroll down through a bit there. It was posted on Saturday. So you scroll down through until you find her live video, and lots of people were chiming in with the comments on that. It's about 8 minutes long. Give it a view. It's good content right there. Now, when it comes to my side of it and delivering it to you here on CCFR Radio, I could create a poll about, you know, do you support the long gun registry, or, you know, do you inventory your gun collection at home? Do you possibly think that tracking your firearms is better left in the hands of the government or the RCMP? Now, when it comes to my side of it here and relaying this stuff to you on CCFR Radio, I could go out of my way and create a poll about, you know, do you support the long gun registry, or maybe one when it comes to your firearms that you have at home? You know, do you actually inventory your collection? And if so, how do you do it? I could ask you if you think that tracking your firearms is better left in the hands of the government or the RCMP, or are you better off to do it yourself? Now, I'd be surprised if there was a single one of you that didn't think about the High River gun grab when I mentioned that. We are well aware of that scenario and the fact that it could happen anywhere now. All we need is for that one person in the position of authority to give the word, and your world is turned upside down. Let's say that your house was broken into and some firearms were stolen. Would you know? Do you have that many that you wouldn't even notice if one or two are missing? I know several people who have such a collection that, well, it might take them a little while to notice, hey, where's that one gun, you know? And so, would you know which ones were missing if this happened? Clearly, it's evident if they take all of them, but what if you have a collection of 50 firearms or so and one goes missing? Would you notice? And can you describe your guns? Do you know what they look like? Do you catalog them? Do you take photos of them? Do you record their serial numbers even? I know I did. I haven't kept up on it in quite some time, but shortly after the long gun registry is when I got thinking about it. And yes, I was one of those old school that I created an Excel spreadsheet and I documented the make, the model, the serial number, a few of them even. I made it as far as to take photos of them, but I think that was more of a glamour shot for them because they weren't really a side profile. It was more of a gun pose, if you will. But looking through Tracy's video, looking at some of the comments there, a couple people mentioned in regards to taking that list for insurance purposes, then maybe you should include yourself in the photo of the gun. That way, the insurance company knows, yes, you were in possession of this. It's a little more fuel to your fire for an insurance claim. Well, I suppose fuel in your fire should not be left as a reference for an insurance claim, but you get my point. So when it comes to this being episode 3 of CCFR Radio, I'm telling you now that it's going to be short and sweet because I, unlike my co-host who didn't show up again this week because Trevor's busy running across the country shooting guns in every province he can, listen, I tell you, I would love to have this guy's air miles. He came to Calgary for the AGM. He went home. Next week, he's in Ontario. He goes home. Now he's back in Alberta again. Like, the guy just doesn't know how to stay home, right? But he's busy doing this, so I'm running the show again this week, but totally by myself, and I kind of think I know what I'm doing. But regardless, I don't like to ramble on. So I talked about a couple of the shows that we were at over the past couple weeks, as well as, you know, giving some insight and wanting your insight into the whole long gun registry slash, you know, the topic of, do you inventory your firearms? But because I am all by myself here, I get to share something that is of interest to me. Now, I've got to give a little bit of a shout out to Jeff Young, because he posted this in the CCFR group on Facebook. And it's a link to Canada's military history. Now, Veronica Foster, I've never heard of this woman before, but thanks to Jeff, I now have a little bit of insight as to who she is and what made her who she was. So, I'm going to read this little bit of an excerpt from the Canada's military history page that Jeff was so kind to share here. His caption on it, of course, was history. It's yours to learn. Of course it is. Now, Veronica Foster, popularly known as Ronnie the Bren Gun Girl, was a Canadian icon representing nearly 1 million Canadian women who worked in the manufacturing plants that produced munitions and material during World War II. Foster worked for John Inglis Company Limited, producing Bren light machine guns on a production line in Toronto, Ontario. Ronnie can be seen as the precursor and model for the much better known American fictionalized character called popularly as Rosie the Riveter. Now, being that my day job is working on aircraft, trust me, I know who Rosie the Riveter is. But Ronnie predates the American poster girl images by over 2 years. It is very likely that the idea of Rosie was born from a New York Times article about Ronnie. Imagine that. The Canadians are starting a trend for the Americans that eventually makes it back to Canada as something totally unrelated. If you want to read the whole thing without my verbiage thrown in the middle of it, then head over to the group, scroll down, look for Jeff's post, and with the post, you'll see the photo of the Bren gun on display with Ronnie standing behind. I have no idea why, but we're having a little bit of an issue with getting the CCFR radio episodes into iTunes. The first episode went without a problem, but checking today, I can see that episode 2 is still not showing. So with any luck, I can get the kinks worked out of that, because I tell you, I'm really not what you'd call tech savvy. But I'm going to look into it a little further still, see what I can do about getting episode 2 up, and of course, get this episode, episode 3, up on iTunes as well. But if you're not finding us there, then of course go to podcast.ccfr.ca. And when you're done there, head over to firearmrights.ca and join up if you haven't already. Now, when you get over to our main website, you will see all kinds of news, information, highlights, what have you, about what is going on. So, there's more to the website than just joining. If you haven't joined yet, now's your chance. Thanks for listening to CCFR Radio. I am your host, Morley Knight. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Bye-bye.